Praise be to God. Praise God. Can we give God a round of applause for his faithfulness, his goodness? I mean, there are so many things that we are grateful for. Thank you very much, the international team, for being part of this church. I mean, you are really building with us this sanctuary, and we are really grateful. Yeah. So we are going to get into a time of listening to God's word, and I'm going to kindly ask you to maybe rise up on your feet, so that we can read two portions of scriptures together. We are going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 to 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 to 28. And we are also going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18 to 21. So let me read. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 to 28. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Anna did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is went, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have went him. Only may the Lord make good his word, so that the woman make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had went him. After he was went, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood before here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18 to 21. This is what it says. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they will go home." And the Lord was gracious to Anna. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have to be in your presence and to get to hear from you. We pray that, Lord, this moment may be blessed by you. We pray that, Lord, you may speak to our heart, that you may speak to our soul, that you may give us clarity through your word. We thank you, God, because you are going to do it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I mean, we are still in this mood, if I would say, of gratitude. And I think what we'll be talking about today is just a continuation of some of the things that our international brothers and sisters have been saying about why we should give thanks to God. And today, we are going to start a new topic as a church that is titled "The Impact of a Life of Faithfulness and Integrity Before God." I remember that last time I stood here, I was talking about the cost of living a righteous life. I was supposed to talk about the rewards as well, but because of time and because of the content, the heaviness of the content about the cost, I stopped at the cost. But today, I think I'm going to give you a glimpse of what kind of reward God gives to those who live faithfully and in integrity before him. Amen? So the specific topic for this morning is finding unexpected satisfaction in God's blessing. Finding unexpected satisfactions in God's blessings. Amen. And so we are in the book of Samuel. It's two books, First Samuel and 2 Samuel. There are two books. Before, it was one story that was unified, but after the translation, it's when it was divided into 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And they have the title Samuel, not because Samuel wrote the books, but because he is the main character. Because these books start with the story of Samuel, and they go on and talk about the legacy that he left in Israel as a nation. Amen? And so, what we can find in the context of this time is that that time in Israel was characterized by political instability. It was just after the end. It was toward the end of the period of judges. As you may know, before the book of Samuel, before Samuel, there were judges in Israel. Those were the ones who were leading. Those are the ones who are doing justice among the people of Israel. And that time of judges was not a very good time in that nation. It was really a time of instability. There is a particular chapter in the book of Judges, if you read it, there is a whole tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, that is wiped out by their fellow brothers. That's how bad the times were. If you read the book of Judges, you will see a constant refrain coming back over and over that in those days there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was good in their own eyes. So it was a time of anarchy. It was a time of political instability. But not only was it a time of political instability, it was also a time of spiritual confusion and syncretism because the people of Israel had mixed up with some of their neighbors and had started adopting the customs of those neighbors. And so their religion was no longer as pure as their God wanted it to be. It was also a time where, as I have said, there was a cycle of sin, of oppression. Those neighboring nations were attacking Israel constantly because of their sin, of course. And Israel will come and cry out to God for deliverance. God will send a judge, will deliver them. And after deliverance, they will again find themselves in sin. And it will continue with that cycle. That was the time of the judges. So Samuel comes in toward the end of this time of judges. And some commentators call even Samuel the last judge. He's the last judge of Israel. And so we find now the story of this family where Samuel will be born. And this family is introduced to us. They introduce to us the father of Samuel, whose name was Elkanah. And he had two wives, Anna and Penina. And in that time, of course, polygamy was accepted, even if it was not God's plan for marriage, but it was acceptable in that culture. And so it was also accepted when the first wife could not bear children. And in the case of Anna, she could not bear children. So probably because of the pressure from the family of Elkanah, he had to take another one. Even though the Bible says that he loved Anna very much, but he still had to take another wife because of the social and traditional pressure of that time. And in that time, it was before the temple was built in Jerusalem. And it was a custom for the people of Israel to go to a place called Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, to do sacrifices, to worship the Lord. Because in that time, you had to go to a place in order to worship God. There was a specific place that was appointed for that kind of spiritual activities. And the Ark of Covenant was also kept in that place as well. In that place, you could also find priests. And those priests are also introduced to us in this passage. So Shiloh was a pilgrimage site where families could go and worship God and give their offerings and their sacrifices to God. And in that Shiloh, we also find the priesthood of Eli, who is introduced to us. He was the high priest. And even though he was really the high priest appointed by God, but his priesthood was also weak. because we are also introduced to his sons who were priests with him. But the Bible gives us precision that these signs were very wicked. They were wicked. They were wicked priests. And Eli did not do anything to stop them from doing what they were doing, the wicked things that they were doing. So that's how weak worship or impure worship was in that time. It was really a time of spiritual decline. But in contrast to this priesthood that was in spiritual decline, we also find these families that was devoted to God, extremely devoted to God. Because this is what the Bible says in verse 3 of 1 Samuel. It says, year after year, Elkanah, this man, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. So in contrast to this priesthood that was so corrupt, there is this family that was so devoted to God, faithful to God, living in integrity before God. They were living in integrity before God. And in this family, we find Hannah, who has also embraced the custom of his husband. She was also a woman of devotion. And unfortunately, she could not bear children. And some of you may know, in our traditional societies, it's almost like what was happening in that time. A barren woman was really considered like someone who was cursed by God. Not having children for a woman in that time, it was looked at as it was a divine disfavor. It was a humility for a woman to not have children. Because in that time, a woman's status and security was strongly tied to her ability to bear children. And I know that in our times also, in traditional society, we also have those ones. You only get married for 2 or 3 months, and already some family members will come and start visiting just to see if there are signs that your wife is expecting. That's how hard things are. So this woman was really going through a difficult time. Barren women often face shame, social stigma, and emotional pain. And to add to her pain, her rival, she had children. And this rival made sure that Anna felt the pain of not having children because she mocked her constantly. She mocked her constantly. And so Anna was in a very difficult situation socially. And another thing about having children in that time is that when you had sons, especially sons, that was an assurance that you will take part in the inheritance of your husband. So as long as Anna did not have children, she could not have part in the inheritance of Elkanah's house. That's how bad her situation was. But there are things that we can learn from Anna. We see that she was mocked by her rival, but she did not respond to the mockeries. On contrary, she turned to God. Because the first thing we need to learn from Anna is that our attitude during times of trials is key to our breakthrough. The way we react to our trials is one of the key to our breakthrough from those times. Because we see from Anna that not only she did not respond to the mockery of her rival, she turned to God. That's what the Bible said. She said when she went to pray, the tabernacle, she said, Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery. Now, this Lord Almighty here, in other translation, it is said, Lord of heaven's armies. It means that she's turning toward the God who can fight for her. Lord of heaven armies, if you could look only at your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And so her attitude was an attitude of devotion to God. She turned to God in her misery. She kept seeking after God. She kept pleading her cause before him, serving him. Because year after year, that's what the Bible says, year after year, she was mocked. And yet, year after year, they continued to go up to sacrifice to God. So they kept serving God. The attitude, our reaction in times of trial is key to our breakthrough from those times of trial. It's key to our breakthrough. So she kept on praying to the Lord year after year, year after year. And her prayers, we can see that they were sincere. They were heartfelt. And you know, in that time, silent prayer was so unusual that the high priest, when he looked at her praying silently without opening her mouth, he thought that she was drunk. And that is another contrast to see that how come from a priest who is in the tabernacle, the first thought that comes to his mind when he looks at a woman who is praying silently is that she's drunk. That means that maybe in those times, drunk card could come even to the tabernacle. It's possible. It's possible. It's another sign of the spiritual decline that was happening in that time. But Anna's prayers were heartfelt. That's why she was silent. They were sincere before God. And to even solidify her devotion to God, she made a vow before God. She said, "If you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you." That's a very, very difficult thing to do. The mothers and the parents here will understand. That child that you have prayed for so many years, and yet you decide, if God, you give me this son or this daughter, I'm going to give him back to you. That is not an easy vow, but that was an outcome of her devotion and integrity before God. And one of the things that you need to know is that what Anna didn't know that is that throughout the history of Israel, when God was about to do something new, when God was about to start something new, a new era, or something big, there was often a barren woman involved. There was often a barren woman involved. And if you see in Genesis chapter 18, you'll find Sarah. Sarah was a barren woman, and through her, the line of Israel started. You can even look at Rebekah, the wife to Isaac. Even Rebekah, before she bore a son, those sons, Jacob and Esau, she was also barren for many years until her husband had to pray for her. He pleaded before God for her so that she can have children. And Jacob is the one from whom we got the name Israel. So every time God wanted to do something big, every time God wanted to start a new era, there was often a barren woman involved. You can even look at the history of Rachel. Rachel was also barren for many years. And it's through Rachel that we find Joseph, who later on will save the nation from famine, his family from famine. So every time God wanted to start something new, there was often a barren woman. You can even look at the story of Samson in the book of Judges. Her mom was also barren, his mom was also barren for many years. And yet, when Samson came, he also delivered Israel from the Philistines. So I don't know what is the problem, the trial that you are going through right now in your life. I don't know what is the desert, the desperate situation, or even what is barren, if I could say, in your life right now. But it is oftentimes a sign that God is about to intervene in an impactful way. It is often a sign that God is about to intervene in an impactful way. Amen? And so, we can also see that this woman, when God wants to start something big, he often starts with some ordinary people. Because when we are introduced to the family of Elkanah, he is introduced to us as a certain man. A certain man. There was a certain man from Ramathaim. A certain man. A certain family. And yet, this family will be very vital to the well-being of an entire nation. Because the blessing that God bestowed in this family were beyond them. They went beyond them. Because God's blessing in the life of Anna, as we'll see, as we keep going, were beyond her expectations. Because Samuel, whom she gave birth to, will later on lead Israel through the transition between the period of Judges and the monarchy. Samuel was the one who anointed the first two kings of Israel. He's the one who led Israel through that transition because God was about to do something big. And this woman did not know. She did not know, though she was going through a trial. What we can learn from her is that her faithfulness, her attitude during that moment of trial became key to the breakthrough that she was about to experience. Samuel was not only the leader, but he was also a priest, a prophet. And as I said in my introduction, he was the last judge of Israel. The nation, the entire nation, benefited from the faithfulness and devotion of this family. And the nations, our nations, can also benefit from the faithfulness and devotion of only one family. Now imagine if 2, 3, 4, 5 families became devoted and faithful to God. How much blessings we can get as nations, as societies. Because as we can see in this story, one family that was devoted, the one family that was faithful to God became the starting point of a change in an entire nation. In an entire nation. The second thing we can see, we can learn from Anna, is that our attitude when we receive what we prayed for is also key to our continued enjoyment of God's blessings. Our attitude when we receive what we prayed for is key to our continued enjoyment of God's blessings. There is a really famous pastor here in Congo. I think everyone in Congo knows him. His name is Atoms. And there is something that he said. He said that what comes from God works with God. What comes from God works with God. You know, Anna, she made a vow before God. She said, God, if you'll give me a son, I'm gonna give it back to you. I'm going to give him back to you. And the Bible makes it look like it was easy for her to give her son back because she stayed with Samuel until he was 3 years old. And after he was 3 years old, that was the portion of scripture that we read. This is what the Bible tells us. Verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. When she brought back Samuel to the priest, she said, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Not only here she acknowledged that this son, I got it from God. It came from God. He came from God. And because I pledged that I'm going to give him back, here he is. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm trying to imagine as a parent, you know, I got my first child after maybe three years of marriage. And in our culture, it's a lot of pressure. I could see how my wife was feeling the pressure. Even though no one was telling her that, you know, what is happening? Why don't you have children? But still, because of the society and the tradition that we live in, she felt that pressure. I felt that pressure too. And now, this child that we have so long waited for, now we have to give him back. That means he will no longer be with us. It was not easy, and yet she did it. Because our attitude, when we get what God gave us, is also key to our continued enjoyment of his blessings. It's key. Anna fulfilled her vow before God. And by doing this, it was a way for her to acknowledge that this child was God's gift to her. That was verse 27 that we just read. Not only did she fulfill her vow, but we can see also that her family remained attached to God. Despite the fact that God answered to this prayer, despite the fact that God answered them and gave them a son, they did not stop doing what they were doing before. They kept going to the temple to sacrifice. We can read that in the second chapter. Yes, second chapter, verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, it says, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to do what? to offer the annual sacrifice. They kept the same custom. Even after they got an answer from God to their prayer, they remained faithful. Our attitude after we get what we prayed for is key to our continued enjoyment of God's blessings. Because there are so many people who prayed for jobs, they prayed for promotions, they prayed for opportunities, they prayed for children, but when they got them, they immediately forgot God. They stopped doing the things that they were doing before. They stopped serving God. They stopped offering to God. They stopped sacrificing. But from this family, we learn that they kept doing the same things. They kept being faithful to God, even after receiving what they prayed for. Because what comes from God works with God, works with God. So not only did she fulfill her vow to the family, to God, but the family remained attached to God. They kept the same custom as they used to have. And in return, that's where the enjoyment comes, because God blessed them beyond expectations. And in return, God remembered her again. God remembered her again. Because when they went in this particular passage, verse 19 of chapter 2 says, each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And Eli will bless. Every time they went in God's presence, they will be blessed. Will bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Maybe this priest was not knowing that he was prophesying, actually, over her life. He didn't know. He was just wishing. He was just giving some good prayers, some blessings, but he was also prophesying over her life. Because later on, if we continue on reading in verse 21, the Bible says, and the Lord was gracious to Anna. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. She got more children. 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. So I'm reminding you again of our second point, is that our attitude when we receive what we prayed for is key to our continued enjoyment of God's blessings. So let me end with 2 questions. I know that maybe some of us are going through some very, very difficult times. There is something that you've been waiting for from God. For so long, you've been praying. You are going through maybe a period of unemployment. Maybe your business is suffering. Maybe as a family, you are also expecting, like Anna, you want to have children, but they are not coming. You've been waiting for so long. And my question to you will be, who are you running to? Because we learn from Anna that when she was mocked, when she had this humiliation from her rival, she did not reply. She did not fight back. She ran to the Lord of Heaven's army. So who are you running to? What is your attitude? Are you still serving God? Are you still faithful to your vow and your commitment to God? Because that is one of the keys to your breakthrough. The second question is maybe for the people who have prayed for something and they got it. You got that job, you got that business breakthrough, you got that promotion. God answered you in a marvelous way. Now, how are you serving him now? How is your relationship with God now that you have gotten what you prayed for? Because we learn from this family, verse 19 of chapter 2, that they kept doing the things they used to do before. They kept giving their annual sacrifices. They remained faithful to God despite the blessings, despite the answer that he gave them. And so may God help us. May God help us to learn from this family as well. Amen. Amen. And may God bless his word.
Yeah, we thank God for his word that is really perfect and a reminder to us living a life of gratitude. And we believe that The Holy Spirit will keep interpreting this message in our hearts daily, so that we may live a thankful life, a life of gratitude, even as we keep enjoying the blessings the Lord has given to us and expecting something from Him.